Hey, everybody, this is Rob Dukes. Welcome to the Put Up Your Dukes podcast. I decided to do a podcast because I figured, you know, not a lot of people do podcasts. There's not a lot of them out there to choose from. I figure I'd get in the game real early. And, you know, it was like me and like maybe like 10 other people. So you'll be able to, you know, have something to listen to while you're at work, fucking off at your job and wasting time. Anyway, you can find me here on all your podcast places, Spotify and YouTube. If you can, go to the YouTube link and click it and subscribe and like it and all that other bullshit. You know the deal, man. It's trying to get something going so people you can come here and listen to a conversation I'm going to have with one of my friends. So I was in Exodus for 10 years. I'm a professional musician. I did my 10,000 hours and, you know, I'm in a band called Generation Kill, working on new stuff. The album's done. Actually, no, the album's not done. That's a lie. I basically found one of the songs. We had this song that we did, and I found myself just I listened to it over and over and over again, and I'm like, oh, man, there's just something. I suck. I just don't like it. The band was great. I hated myself on it. So, I had my guitar player, Jason, Trenza, rearrange it a little bit. And then I wrote new lyrics and just started over from scratch. Like I hadn't heard the song before. And now it's one of my favorites on the record. Anyway, record's called MK Ultra. It comes out January 24th. If you give a fuck, you can also go listen to me on Exodus and stuff and listen to my old records. Anyway, the reason I'm doing a podcast is because I've been to, I've traveled all over the world, and I know a lot of people in the industry, outside the industry, on the fringe of the industry. I have a bunch of friends that are guitar techs and drum techs and tour managers and people that are on the inside of all this. And I'm going to invite these people on and just have conversations with them and tell stories and talk about, you know, getting sharpied because they got too drunk and passed out on our bus or whatever they, you know, whatever happened on tour along the lines of being in a heavy metal band and hanging on a tour bus with us. Today is November 20th. This is episode one. JFK was killed today, like 1,000 years ago, I think, or something like that. fuck.
It's okay. Hey, don't hit the table. Because it's loud.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay. Today's November 1st. No, today's not. Today's November 20th. Let me cut in again.
Today's actually November 22nd.
Oh, it is. Oh, today's November 22nd. I've been informed. I thought it was the 20th because I'm an idiot. JFK was killed today. It's kind of weird that all those people on Dealey Plaza, they're all kind of hanging out. It's like 200 people waiting for him and his son to come back. Then they were supposed to go to a Stones concert. I don't know what the I don't care that much. I just know that I find it really interesting that they're wearing red hats and have you know, Trump flags, but they're wanting the most liberal fucking president that ever existed to fucking come back into existence and lead them to the Holy Land or whatever the fuck, dude. I don't know, man. Whatever. People are fucking weird. And I'm one of them. So, you know, and you know what's really fucking cool is that, like, none of this is going to fucking matter when the sun explodes. Because everything we do, all the music, all the art, the fucking Mona Lisa, the fucking Eiffel Tower, Statue of Liberty, the American flag, all that shit's going to just be dust. It's going to be dust and no one's going to be like, oh, remember that planet? No, there's no one out there. Or maybe there is. I really fucking hope there is. I hope we're like a reality show. Like we're the trailer park that they have cameras on and they're watching us and they are just fucking giggling at what a fucking nightmare we've become. Anyway, I don't want to speak ill of the dead. But JFK, he created the cigar embargo of no Cubans, right? But before he did that, he bought like 1,000 of them, filled his humidor with them, and then changed the law so no one else could have any. And that's kind of a cunt move. especially coming from a cigar smoker. And I actually like Kennedy. I don't know too much about things. I'm not that bright. I'm a hypocrite completely. I will give you shit for something I just figured out like an hour ago, you know, for not knowing it. Like, you know, I'm that douche. Anyway, I smoke cigars. It's one of my favorite things to do in the world. I hang out at this place, which is my sponsor of this podcast, is the Yard Cigar Bar in Chandler, Arizona. I'm there a lot. I hang out there, I smoke cigars, I watch hockey. Oh, speaking of hockey, did you see the fucking Ranger game? How about them fucking New York Rangers, right? New York Rangers won with less than a second to go, won a tie game. It was fucking unbelievable. I've seen it twice in my life where Brad Richards did it in like 2011. And then Ryan Lindgren did it yesterday. 0.07 seconds to go. He scores a fucking goal and wins a tie fucking game. And it was fucking awesome. I didn't cry. I usually cry at shit like that, but I didn't cry at that one. I did cry when they won the Stanley Cup. That did bring like man tears. What kind of tears? That scene in Good Will Hunting, it's not your fault. Yeah, I know. That scene, dude, that crushes me every fucking time. All right. Anyway, so my first guest is Mr. Rick Hunault. He's awesome. Legendary guitar player for Exodus on one of the – probably heralded as one of the creators of thrash, Bonded by Blood. He played on that record. And by everyone's standards, like Hetfield and all the guys in Slayer, all those agree that the Exodus album, even though it came out a couple years after everyone else, was the pinnacle of thrash because they had been playing with those guys from the beginning. So they had all heard it live a million times and was like, oh, this is fucking record is. So I had an amazing conversation with Rick Hunault, and also at the end, we talked about, I asked him his favorite songs, and I made a list, and at the end of this podcast, if you let it play, those songs are just going to be added to this podcast. So if you're listening on like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, it's just going to begin. If you're on YouTube, it's not going to play because of, you know why, the music rights and all that stuff. So, but as part of this podcast at the end, you're going to hear a list of Rick's favorite songs. And then I mixed in my favorite songs that Rick played on that I love of his music. And so it's about 15 or 16 songs that'll play after this podcast. So anyway, man, if you can, go to YouTube and click subscribe and like on there. Or I don't care about the likes, just subscribe to it. So what that does, it enables me to just keep doing more and more and more of these, which is what I want to do. So I have a ton of guests lined up. People that are interesting to me, artists, musicians, painters. I'm going to have like a plethora of people that that I want to have a conversation with that I find interesting. And I think that you will too once you give it a chance. I'm going to try not to talk too much at the beginning of these so it gets right to the interview. I'm going to try and keep it, just a real quick, short thing. And that's it. So welcome to the Put Up Your Dukes podcast. I appreciate you. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
There he is.
Hey!
Look at you.
Hi, Robert. I just want to tug on your little beard right there. What's up, Bubba?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Hey, I just wanted to start off this little podcast saying that I love you so much, Rob. Mm. Oh, man. The Stogie?
Yeah. So, I want you to know that I love you too, Rick. I really do. So,
are you on your deck right now?
I'm on my little porch. I'm on my condo. I'm sitting on my porch. I'm smoking a cigar, drinking coffee.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Wait. There you go. Cheers.
So let me first ask you, man, how you feeling? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm just finished my season, hanging out with the kids. Yeah. My youngest son has got one more year. He's a senior now. So I'm getting him out of high school. Seriously thinking about moving out of California, bro.
Where are you going to move?
I don't know, man. somewhere where I don't pay $5.25 a gallon for gas, bro.
Yeah, we're about $4, but you know,
are you really?
Yeah, man, it's, you know, it fucking comes and goes, man. It goes up. I remember at one point, man, in New York when I was living there, it was like $6 a gallon, dude. You know what I mean? I remember people freaking out, but it wasn't like, you know, it just passed and it went back down to $3 and it goes up and it goes down.
Yeah,
and,
I hope it does go back because it's pretty brutal out here, man.
Yeah.
Inflation is real. The struggle is real, bro.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm really just hoping that the sun will explode. I mean, that'd be kind of.
Well, that's what's going to happen. The CME. Oh, for sure. Coronal mass ejection? Absolutely.
Have you thought about like Colorado? Have you thought about Arizona, New Mexico?
Arizona. I'm thinking about like I have some farmer friends up in Oregon right now. All the cannabis laws are way better than they are here. I want to get my kid out of high school and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, man. You know what? You know, you do well. You do Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
56th Street. You know what I mean? Like right around there.
Not me. That fucking place, man. I mean, hey, I might as well move to the Tenderloin in San Francisco. Fuck, dude.
As Dave Chappelle says, there ain't nothing tender about that motherfucker at all.
No, dude.
I was just there, dude. It's really bad. But it wasn't as bad as it was a couple years ago, which I found really strange.
It's actually sad, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be going to Oakland for the first time in like a year for the Testament Exodus show at the Fox.
Yeah.
Kind of looking forward to that, man, but I'm not too stoked about bringing my truck down there and having somebody steal my catalytic converter.
Yeah, that's – they've been doing it to – yeah, they do that to – I think – what was it? The fucking Prius, the catalytic converter is worth like $3,000 and people are just ripping them out of cars.
Dude, yeah. it's like epidemic out here, but yeah.
I was just there in Oakland. Matter of fact, I was going to come see you, but I ran out of time. So I'm going to come back and do that again.
Yeah.
Soon.
So you had a good time with Tom, yeah?
Yeah, man. I went down. So I had dinner with Tom and Ursula. And then the next night we went to Ursula's birthday party. And then I came home. So it was good, man. I hung out with Tom. I got Tom to smoke a cigar with me and fucking.
Yeah, I saw
it. It was in that crazy rainstorm. So it was kind of cool. And we just had it was really nice. It was a good time, man. We had some good, deep, meaningful conversations, you know, as we always have.
Tom is the best, dude. He dodged a bullet, bro.
Fucking A, dude. Yeah. And he has like that. That positive mental attitude that just
since day one, I've been driving back and forth to Elmenor from where I live. It's like 3 hours each way.
Yeah.
Just to go hang out with him and support him. And since day one, since the second he found out, it's just been the most positive fuck. I don't know, man.
It's inspiring. It really is, man.
Yeah, no, it is. He's a badass.
Because speaking of badasses, I want to talk about you. When I first met you, I'm gonna enlighten you because you might not remember.
I remember all of it, but
do you?
Oh yeah.
We had the best fucking time on tour when I first met you. We were having a blast, dude.
You were doing for Guitars for Gary, right?
Yeah. Well, I was doing guitars for you, Gary, and Jack.
Yeah.
And we just had a great time, man. We laughed.
Remember on the bus, you'd put on your music, dude.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I'd play like
man, Rob, you're badass, dude. You fucking shred. Man, you sing, you play guitar, you write these songs. That's fucking badass, Rob. Remember?
Yeah, I do. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, we love that shit, dude.
Yeah, man. And then, that led to like I wasn't there for the conversations that led after the tour, but I know that eventually I got a call from Gary and said, "Hey, man, come fucking
yeah."
Audition.
Yeah. So that was right. Unfortunately, that was right when I was on my way out. You know what I mean?
Well, before we get there. So you were there for the demo. You made the demo.
Yeah.
You showed up. We made the demo for Nuclear Blast so they could hear me sing. We did it with Tilo and they really liked it. And I have to say that, you know, you were my biggest fan in that room. You were.
That's absolutely right. Rob, I still to this day I adore you, and I look.
Well, here's the deal, right? So I actually sat down with those guys last night. They're here making a video, and I went and hung out with Lee and Gary and Tom and Zet last night.
They're in Arizona doing a video?
Yeah, they're here doing a video. So we hung out last night. So basically what the deal was is we talked about, well, my band Generation Kill could open for Exodus, and then I could jump up and sing a couple songs, right?
Yeah.
And then we could bring Rick along too.
How many times I've actually – I'm really in touch with the fans on Facebook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of them, Gary just needs to dig deep and get, Exodus has got such the badass catalog, bro.
Dude, it's killer.
I mean, they've got a catalog from 83 to current that is just savage, bro, that they need to do some work. And dig some of these deep cuts out, man, that the people want to hear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Gary knows.
I agree. You know, I was sober when I met you, and I'm still sober. I'm sober like 28 years.
No, I know that.
And when I met you, you were a fucking mess. And I'm not saying it to be disparaging. I'm not talking because I know that you're sober now, and I know that you've come a long way from there. I want you to know that it broke my heart when you didn't show up to make the record and you were in such a bad way. And I remember, I don't know if you remember, but I called you and I said, Rick, we're at Juan's studio, man. We're doing it. And you're like, I'm on my way, man. I'm on my way. And then you just never showed up. And can you talk about how dark things were for you?
Yeah, I sure can. So, all right. So we did the demo and this is for, this is for Tempo, right?
No, Shovelhead Kill Machine.
Right, right, right. So we had, listen, so during the recording of Tempo, Gary had just got clean a little while prior to that.
Yeah.
And I was still using.
Yeah.
But Gary, I got to say, Gary Holt, you know, my hat's off to the man for it. He never sweated me, dude. Not once did Gary say, dude, you're a piece of shit. I'm going to fire you from the band if you don't get your shit together. He never said nothing, Rob. He let it take its course. You know what I mean? And it might've been, I was a mess, Rob.
We all were, bro,
but everybody got better and I didn't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I fell down the rabbit hole even worse, I think, because I was just so depressed with, like, I couldn't stop, bro. I don't know what was up, but.
Well, Rick, I want you to know that, like, so I was there and I my love for you never wavered. I knew because I was in that same position. I remember there was a time in my life when I could not stop. I could not. It didn't matter how much people loved me. It didn't matter how much people cared. It didn't matter what kind of money I was making, what kind of job I had. Nothing. The only thing that mattered was that drug or that drink. And that's all that mattered. And that feeling is so fucking overwhelming.
Crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I was, I mean, to the point where I was going to lose my position in the band I'd been in for over 20 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My best friends, my life, dude. So yeah, it was dark as fuck, but I've told this to Gary and I've told this to Tom, but I don't think they can relate because they've never had to deal with this like you did, Rob. And one day, after spending my life, giving everything that I had in the whole world to Exodus, one day I woke up and I wasn't in Exodus anymore. And that morning was like, dude, I can't even describe the emotions that went in. I woke up and I wasn't in Exodus anymore, dude.
Yeah.
And that fucking, it all damn near took me out, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I had to reinvent myself. At 40 plus years old, two little kids, you know, I ended up moving out of Oakland. I had to get the fuck out of there, bro. Cause we were living at the studio. It was bad. And then we moved in with my wife's mom, and I got a job at the Dollar Tree, and I ended up working there for like 2 or 3 years. And I could go on and on and on, but long story short, I met a guy who knew who I was and offered me a job on his ranch, and the rest is history, dude. He just taught me a lot. He taught me how to live my life and make money, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, man, it's a beautiful story when it comes down to the end. I know that. So, you know, I also know the feeling of having, you know, being an Exodus and then having it be gone, and your that identity, that part of you is no longer.
Remember, Rob? Remember when you woke up the day that you weren't in Exodus? You'll never forget that day.
Yeah, dude, I'll never forget that day either. You know what I mean? And, you know, it took me a while to get over that. So when you left, I want you to know that, like, so here we were, you know, I joined the band. It's me, you, Gary, Tom, and then you quit and Tom quit at the same time. And it was like, holy fuck, like, what did I get myself into? And yeah, I didn't understand, but I knew that we just got to keep pushing forward and just keep going. So Lee joined the fold, and it seemed to be like a, you know, and for me, it was, you know, as much as I loved you and it never faltered. It just was, okay, Rick's going to go do his thing. And hopefully he, you know, gets better. And then, you know, and then I remember when you showed up, when I first saw you the time after that, and you looked so much better. You had cut your hair. You had color.
Oh, that was at Gary's wedding.
Yeah. You had color in your skin, and we were laughing, and you were, it looked like you were okay in your own skin. And I was like, you know, he's not on drugs, and that's like bonus. I mean, I was like, that's, you know, and you were the same person. You just weren't spun out. And it was a beautiful thing to say, you know. I've never heard anyone, either in Exodus or out of Exodus, talk about you in a negative way. Never. Yeah. It was always, Rick's got a problem. But it was always spoken about with love. It was never spoken about, well, he's a fucking piece of shit, fucking tweaker. Nobody ever said that, ever. Gary never said it, and Tom never said it. They just, so I hope he gets his shit together. That was always the way that we talked about you. And then I remember I had so I'm in the band for like, you know, like 10, like 8 years or something. And they said, well, Tom, you know, Gary's like, well, I'm going to go out with Slayer. So what should we do? And I'm like, we should call Rick. That was my first response.
Good.
And they said, well, he probably hasn't played in a while. I'm like, who cares? Right. Who fucking gives a fuck?
Right.
And I remember Rick, you came to rehearsals and we were having a blast. And I would never forget this, man. I don't think I've told this story before. But I was on stage singing, and we were playing, and we were in Europe because you came on tour to Europe with us.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, man, I hear someone screaming behind me, right? And I was like, I thought something was wrong. So I kind of like turned around and looked, and it was you. You were so happy. You were screaming at your fingers. You're like, yeah, motherfucker. And it was infectious, man. It was infectious to know that you loved it that much. And we had, I have to say, man, that was one of my favorite tours of my entire life, was having to spend that time with you and play those gigs with you and play all those fucking killer songs.
It was awesome, Rob. It was awesome. Hey, remember Sardinia?
Oh, fuck yeah, man. Hanging out. Do you remember the night I have a video of you on my computer somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
You were dancing. I found you in the EDM tent at some festival. And I got you. And you were so happy, dude. You were so. And it was like it was infectious to everybody on the bus. And it was infectious on stage. And it was always a blast, man. It was always fun.
Thank you, Rob. You're
a beautiful human being. And I love you very much. And you're so I'm doing this podcast. You're my first guest because I knew that your story is a story of like triumph of the human spirit, man. Like, you know, we both you were down and now you're back up, and you're a good father, and you made your own life, and it's
I honestly believe that. I'm not done playing. I mean, once my kid gets out of school, bro, I got plans. I got plans. All I need to do is find me a Tom Honey. That's all I need. I need to find me a Tom Honey.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. But someone comparable, you know what I'm saying? That can play the thrash beat. And that's just a great dude, you know? It means so much to have a great human with you creating than someone that, you know, is a great player, but he's not too cool. You know what I'm saying?
Fun to be around.
Man, yeah. It means everything, dude. It means to me, you know what I'm saying? And and all of a sudden, when we were in Europe, bro, you know what tripped me out about you was that we were drinking, you know what I mean? I got a couple times really hammered. And you were there with your fucking Pepsi partying right along with us, dude, but straight as a fucking arrow, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're drunk as a piss party. And here's Rob. Yeah, all right. And he's straight sober. I love that, dude. I always think about that, bro.
Yeah. I was always like I was an instigator. I'd be pouring the shots and shit, but I just never did it for myself, you know?
But that's so cool though, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I never needed that to be who I was. I never needed that to enhance my personality. And you've learned that. You've learned that you don't need it and it doesn't dull the pain anyway. Like the pain comes regardless, you know, and that's one of the things about being a drug addict or a drunk is that, you know, it's just a Band-Aid. And once that Band-Aid comes off, man, that shit hurts. You got to go through it. And I know that you did because you couldn't come out the other side of it and be who you are if you didn't.
Nope. I mean, I could have easily just ended up dead or in prison. Seriously. I mean, that's all there is to it. But, you know, I got great friends, bro. I got great friends and I love my kids so much. And so let's talk about, you like the album, bud?
Yeah. You?
I like it. And the production's fucking insane. The performances are insane. It's tight as fuck.
Wait, you did a solo on the record.
Dude, have you heard it?
No.
Oh, it's everybody that, I hate to toot my own horn, dude, but everybody that's heard it says it's the best solo on the album. It's fucking badass, Rob. I did it in one take, bro. Well, I went in there, sat down, and fucking nailed it in one take. And Gary goes, dude, it's done. I'm like, nah, let me just fix this little piece. So it was crazy. Gary was just like, dude, badass. You know what I mean?
Now, did you write it before you got in there, or did you come up with it on the spot?
No. I had it was done when I went in there. I spent a couple weeks and got something good. You know what I mean?
All right, cool.
Nice and tasty. Fucking, it's badass.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, super proud of it, man. It turned out good. Yeah, so, the songs are amazing. It's a good album. It's great. I think it's going to take Exodus to where they need to be.
So let me ask you this, man. So when you guys were doing Impact is Imminent, how fucking high were you?
Dude, so
you don't even remember doing it. You were so fucking high.
No, I remember. I remember every minute, every day, every second, every note.
That's right, because you were tweaked the fuck out. That's why.
Yeah. I remember all of it, dude. So listen, I'll tell you. Impact is Imminent. We rented a house up in a place called Albion, and we drove to the studio every day into the mountains about 15 miles, like into the cuts, bro, in a place called Comchi. Badass little studio. We had Chubba, who did Painkiller. Was it Chris Tangredis? No, did he do Force of Heaven? I can't remember. But anyway, dude, it was so bad to the point where, like, I'd finish my tracks for the day or for the song, and I'd hop in the car and I would drive 3 hours there and 3 hours back, bro, to get me and Gary shit so we could keep doing our thing.
Yeah.
It got bad.
It got bad. Yeah. No, man, it doesn't, it reflects on everything, man. You know, so, you know, because I was an East Coast guy, like speed and meth weren't a thing. You know, our drugs were dust and fucking acid, and it was a little different. I mean, but I was I was more of a booze guy than anything else. But that being said, I mean, it just it played such a dramatic role in the West Coast scene.
Dude, it was all. It wasn't just us that were tweaking, dude. It was the whole thing. Okay, so this is what this is how I compare the evolution, the beginnings of thrash metal to the environment. Okay, it was meth was as big a part of the thrash scene in the 80s as heroin was for all the old Blue Note jazz.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But not only was it a part of the scene, but it's what created that vibe of the music. It was part of the actual music.
Yeah.
Do you hear me? Yeah.
I do. So, I totally get it. Yeah.
Dude, it's exactly the same thing. Billie Holiday and all these heroin addicts that were creating this Blue Note, same with grunge. We had Nirvana, dude, you know, all them dudes, those Mother Love Bone, those dudes were strung out on heroin, bro. But they wrote all that shit on heroin.
Yeah.
So, and it was, we wrote all that shit on speed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, and Pink Floyd wrote all that shit on mushrooms and LSD.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. And so did the Dead. The Dead wrote all that shit on acid. Yeah. So it follows the criteria of genres that have like evolved, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now in the thrash, hard rock, speed metal, death, whatever. So drugs have become completely uncool.
Yeah.
It's like no one wants to work with a dope fiend, you know what I mean? And it's not going to happen. You know,
it becomes unprofessional. It becomes a work of itself. Yeah.
And this is the way I look at that. It's like, this is what they mean by selling yourself for rock and roll. So I sold my soul for rock and roll. Okay. So one day you wake up and you make a commitment to the band that I have to spend every waking moment working on this band, rehearsals, songwriting, practice at home, getting people to practice, it becomes more than a full-time job, and nobody's going to hire you because you have to go on the road.
Yeah.
So this is what I think it means, selling yourself for your soul for rock and roll. It's like you made that commitment one day to yourself, to the band. So you probably ended up moving in with your girlfriend or something because most of the guys
need money.
You gotta eat. So it's like, and no one's going to hire a dude that has to leave for a month at a time on the road. You know what I mean? So it's,
hey, not only that, Rick, you sacrifice relationships with your family, your kids, your girlfriend or your wife.
Well, that's the reason that I haven't started a project. Like I said, my oldest just graduated 2020. He's done. He's going to be moving on. And my youngest is graduating this year. So once that's done, they're done with school. I want to be there for them to help them along the way. But I can actually like maybe do something now. You know what I mean? I wasn't about to fucking leave my kids.
Yeah, I know, dude. I'll be your singer though.
Well, who do you think I would ask if it ever happened?
I know you would. I know it'd be the first phone call. You ain't gonna, I know.
You'd be the first motherfucker. You know that, Rob.
Let me ask you, man. I'm going to ask you because this is a selfish question on my part. Do you think if Bailoff saw me singing his songs, he'd have been fucking proud?
Yeah. For sure, dude. Yeah, because you know what? Listen, Bailoff could look at a dude right in his eyes and know if he was passionate about metal. Bailoff was. Listen. Paul wasn't the greatest singer, but he was the most passionate motherfucker about heavy metal there was on the planet, dude. And that's where I take pride in. Me and Paul were like really, really good friends. And we all were, you know what I mean? But I'm not the greatest guitar player in the world, bro. But I believe that I'm more passionate than 9 out of 10 of these fools on stage these days. I mean, it's just something about and the people that, you know, they want to see passion up there, bro. That's what they want to see. People can see through all the sweeping arpeggios and the fucking all the crazy shit, but do they want to see a motherfucker up there sweating and breaking his fucking ass up there? You know, I believe that. And I think that Paul would have seen you perform those songs, dude, and he would have known. Yes, I believe that he would have loved you, Rob.
Yeah, good. I want to say that you may not think you're the greatest guitar player, right? But when I turned around that time and you were screaming at your fingers because you were so happy to be playing, that was moving to me. It was inspiring to me to enjoy the moment that I was in. And and that's what it was. And I'll never forget. I don't know if you remember. Oh, you'll remember this. We were on tour with Megadeth. We were in Chicago. And me, you, and Gary and Jack went to a club after the show, maybe with Bill Kill too. We were out when Bill was with us and we went to this fucking bar and there's band was playing. And the next thing I know, I'm fucking having a soda. We're enjoying ourselves. We're talking and shit. I turn around and Rick Hunel is on stage with the Chicago fucking blues band at this bar. And he is up there just shredding. And you just played a set with Megadeth and now you're at this little bar and you're up on stage and you played the blues with so much fucking love and passion. And, you know, and that's what when I listen to your solos, that's what I get out of it. I get that. Oh no, he fucking meant this, you know? And, so you may not be, may not be George Benson, man, but you're fucking, you know,
yeah, that's a good, yeah. I love George Benson.
He's you're slinging bad. Some, but you know, if George Benson saw you play, he'd be like, yeah, that motherfucker means it. Really?
that's a huge compliment, Rob. Thank you so much. I love you, bro.
Yeah, man. And so that this life journey is really weird, isn't it? It's weird how it goes.
I'm gonna be real, dude. I'm fucking happy as hell right now, dude. I work so hard, Rob, and I'm successful at what I'm doing right now. I just lost my parents a year ago. Yeah, both of them in 4 months, dude. It was brutal.
Sorry about that.
But anyway, I was there when they both took their last breath. I am at total peace with where they're going, with where, you know, I'm just, they were proud of me. I love them to death. And that's all that mattered. And my parents, you know, they knew I was going to be all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because they saw you at your worst, and then you were there for them at the end, and they saw that you would become the man that you were supposed to be, and that's absolutely a real thing.
Yep. And I got peace in that. That was awesome.
Good, man.
You know, it's still not easy, but anyway, yeah, I'm happy. You know, it's going on. I'm thinking about getting out of California, but that's down the way. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, if you ever want to get out of California and come down to Arizona, man, I got a room for you. You got a bed and a place to stay and all that.
I might just do that, dude. So what's the weather?
It's going to be 70 degrees in a day and 60 at night for the next 6 months, dude. It's fucking beautiful here, you know? Wow. I sit outside, I smoke cigars, I drink coffee, I hang out, I listen to fucking Pink Floyd, and I listen to music. So.
Oh, you know, I should have put Pink Floyd on my song list, dude.
Well, I know you got a list of songs. So what I'm going to do is, so here's my plan. So I'm going to ask you your favorite songs, and I'm going to make a playlist.
No, they're not my favorite songs. These are songs. This is what I did.
Okay.
So you told me to make a list.
Yes.
So I just, out of my brain, I just started writing shit down.
Right.
You know what I mean? So this is what came to my mind.
Okay.
Over the, you know, it's not my act. It's not necessarily my favorite, Rob.
But we're gonna go one at a time, and we're gonna talk about each one. All right.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
First song.
Michael Schenker Group, Into the Arena.
Okay.
So we got Michael Schenker, one of my all-time favorite guitar players, just king of the pentatonic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a fucking ripper, dude. Boy's got he could just, he just hits notes, bro. He hits notes that good that make you go, God damn, that's fucking beautiful. You know what I mean?
I do. I do.
So next one is Pantera, Cemetery Gates. What are you going to say? I mean.
Yeah, I remember the first time I heard that, I was blown away.
Fuck, dude. I mean, just Daryl was just like.
Yeah.
What are you going to say about Daryl? Just a tragedy. You know what I mean? Fuck, man. When he died, bro, I was like, I couldn't even believe it. I was crushed. Yeah. So the Rush 2112 Overture.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So listen, I listened to that two days ago. Yeah. Dude, and it's amazing, right? But it has the power. It has the power of bringing those memories from that time back to you.
Yeah.
And you're just like, dude, I'm in a fucking time capsule, like, going, wow, this is insane. Right? And the reason I thought about that song is because Primus just played
Fairway Kings
album, right? Yeah. Here at Berkeley. And I was watching it on YouTube going, man, those dudes are – Primus kicked that ass, bro.
Yeah.
They nailed it.
I heard Les actually went to Getty's house and took lessons with him on how to play it.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did, dude.
No, he did that. Yeah. So
that's amazing, right?
Yeah, it is amazing. Yeah.
Hey, Getty, I'm going to come over. You're going to teach me these songs.
Hey, real quick, before we go to the next song.
Yes, sir.
Tell me what what Joe Satriani said to you when you went for a lesson with him.
Oh, dude. Okay. So, my first lesson with Joe Satriani was my first experience with the electric guitar. I didn't even know how to play a bar chord, bro. The only reason I went in his door is because Phil Kintner from Lost Rocket and Danny Gill and Alex were taking from him. You know, Skolnick from Testament, right? Because we're all Berkeley guys. So I would go to these house parties and Lost Rocket would play these house parties, dude. I was just like, yo, Phil is so badass, dude. I got to learn how to do that, man. So I went and got a guitar and went to my first lesson with Joe, dude, and it was tough. He was a hard ass, bro. You know, if you came in and you weren't prepared for your lesson, dude, he would just like, it wasn't easy. He would talk shit. You know what I mean? You know, it was to the point where like, you just wanted to fucking just cut the fuck out and never come back. he was a hard ass, dude. Really, he was.
All right.
But he was so badass. You know, I only lasted about a year with him, bro. And then that's when I joined Exodus, I think.
Okay.
Like a year and a half after that.
So you spent a year with Satriani.
Yeah.
Yep, okay, yep. And then joined Exodus. Well, fuck, man. Right on. Dude.
Yeah, it was cool.
Good for you.
So,
song four.
Judas Priest, Stained Glass.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
Some of the baddest heavy metal ever written, dude.
Yeah.
Old school, just Tipton and Downing at their prime, as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the production was just insane.
Yeah, they left the blues. They left the blues behind and went on to and created something new. Yeah.
Dude, I listen to, I mean, people like, there's all kinds of people that compare me and Gary to Tipton and Downing. And I'm just like, dude, when I listen to KK and Glenn, I'm like, these dudes were just way better than we are, dude. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's different times, but
It was a different time, different. But you guys were definitely doing something that no one else was doing. I mean,
yeah.
Even as far as like James and Kirk weren't doing anything, they weren't doing what you guys were doing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I get it.
You okay, inspired a lot of people to do that. So go ahead.
Hell yeah, we did. That was awesome too. Merciful Fate, Into the Coven.
All right.
Just because that's when I first joined Exodus, when we went to parties and in there, like in the parking lots before shows. That's the album that was playing. It was either Sabotage or Merciful Fate.
Huh.
I mean, like, nonstop. Parties, parking lots. It was just off the hook. Number six, Metallica, Ride the Lightning. Just because it's...
Album? We're talking the whole album, right?
No, I wrote it down for the song, but yeah, right. The whole album for sure. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Why was Ride the Lightning your favorite song? Just
Well, it wasn't necessarily. It's what just popped into my head when I was making this list. You know, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Scorpion Sails of Charon, because ooh, he's God, right?
Okay.
All right, and Van Halen, Ice Cream Man. This is, you know, when I dude, that solo in Ice Cream Man is just savage, bro.
Dude, I'll never forget. Let me tell this real quick story. We were on the bus, and Lee said that Eddie Van Halen had the worst vibrato ever. And you were like, fuck you. And we put on Van Halen 1, and we cranked it. And everyone was fucking singing along and having a blast.
Hell yeah.
And Lee was just tortured, but we were having so much fun. And then what was the song where it comes out? Where it's like,
oh, that's
with
the volume knob. I can't remember right now, but yeah, it's on there. It's
you went like this. You went, it was like, and you were like, scratching, and me and Jack fucking fell on the floor. We were laughing so fucking hard, dude. Oh, I have a picture from it. I'll put up that picture. It's all of us hanging out, and it was just such a good fucking time, man. But Ice Cream Man, yeah, that is a good fucking song. Good solo, good that whole album, yeah. But good, yeah.
I love it with all my heart, dude. That album changed my life, dude.
Yeah,
for real.
Yeah. He's got killer vibrato. Fuck Lee Altus.
That's what I'm saying. How could you say Eddie Van Halen has bad vibrato? That's crazy.
I know.
That's nuts. Anyway, so, and then the next two, I had to put Exodus in there, dude. So I put Changing the Guard and Within the Walls of Chaos.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, I'm going to make a playlist at the end of this podcast. So if you're listening to it, like, right, it'll just, the songs are just going to start playing.
Okay, right? Cool.
And then, if you go to like Instagram or YouTube or whatever, there's actually going to be a link. You click on it and it's going to go to Spotify or Apple and it's going to play a playlist. And it'll be like, it's going to be called Rick's Uno Playlist.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, man. So. Yeah.
So hey, when are you going to air this? After you edit? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to edit it all down, cut out all the fucking crazy shit we said that we shouldn't.
It's not that we shouldn't have. Listen, whatever.
I just don't want to, you know what, man? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So
I don't either at all. No, I don't want
to say anything bad. It's just a couple little things. You're like, yeah.
Right. Between us.
Between us, man. Yeah.
Right. 100%.
Dude, Rick, I love you very much. You're like a brother. I love
you. Absolutely, Rob. Hey, when you come back up here, dude, hopefully it's like in the summertime, we can take the boat out and just kick it, dude. But when you show up, please let me know.
No, I'm going to. So the reason I didn't last.
You going to bring your bike, dude, or what?
No, I flew in and I rented a car and I drove and saw my friend in Reading, who I haven't seen in like 7 years. And he had two kids and I haven't met his kids yet. The last time I saw his kid was a baby, and he had one since then. So I went and I saw him, and then I drove down to see Tom, and I saw what drove to Gary's on the way.
Did you see all the fire damage?
Oh, yeah, man, I did. Yeah, it was fucked up, man. Yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
It's looking bad.
So my next trip is I'm going to fly out to Reading and come see you and just hang for like 3 or 4 days. And come stay with you overnight. We'll fucking have a fire and we'll have breakfast and hang out. And then I'll go see my other buddy, Rob. I'm going to make a little trip of it. So
good. I can't wait. Hey, when you go out with the boys tonight, tell them I send my love.
I will.
And I'll see them in Oakland.
Okay. Yeah. Dude, I love you very much, Rick. Thank you for doing my podcast. And
it's fucking the blast. It's my pleasure. Yeah. I can't wait to see it.
All right, man.
I'll see you.
You be good. Peace.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? I'm back. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Rick Hunolt. Fuck, man. He's such a good dude. Anyway, I had a quick conversation with my friend Kevin Young, guitar tech to Exodus and a bunch of other bands. But he was my tech for, you know, years, and traveled the world with him. I love this guy a lot. He's got some good stories, and so I'm going to call him from time to time and have him give me a good tour story. And sometimes he might have to admit the names so we don't fucking, you know, throw people under the bus. I actually hate that saying, but that was where it worked. Anyway, following that will be Rick's playlist. Rick gave me a list of, we talked about his 10 favorite songs, like not favorite songs, but like 10 songs that he really liked. So I made a Spotify list at the end of this podcast. You can go to Spotify and click on that and hear it. And then I also mixed in some of my favorite Exodus songs that Rick played on. And so they're going to be kind of sprinkled in there anyway. So enjoy Rick's music, and I'll see you next time.
I hear you, buddy.
What's up, dude? How are you, man?
Hey, nice shirt.
Nice shirt. Thank you. Look at your fucking beard, dude.
I'm old.
Dude, it's so good to see you. So likewise, good to man. See you. Yeah.
Likewise.
Yeah, man. So, welcome to my podcast, man. Welcome to the Put Up Your Dukes podcast. So, let me introduce you. This is my friend Kevin Young. He was a guitar tech for about, I think, say, my like 5 years of my time with Exodus. And he did many a tour, right? I mean, about that? Countless. Years, maybe? Yeah.
Fuck, I don't know.
So,
don't make me think. Don't make me do math, bro.
So Kevin, actually, I met long before he was a guitar tech. I met him when I first joined the band. He was a friend of Jack's, and used to come over to Jack's house all the time. And always been a lovely human being, and one of my favorite people to be on the road with and live in a bus with. Always a good laugh, always a good time, always had your back, you know. So I want – the reason I'm going to rely on you to tell me some tour stories, but I figured you would have thought about one because you've had a couple of days to think about it. So I want you to go ahead and tell a good story for the fans.
Well, you know, I thought of a couple. The best one would probably be the most recent one. And that was that fucking Battler, the Bay Strikes Back tour, that last one in Europe right as COVID was hitting.
Yeah.
The fucking boat ride. I mean, I know it made some media outlets and stuff. You hear about that ferry ride we took where we almost all died?
No, go ahead and tell it, man. Go ahead.
Dude, it was fucking insane. So it's the biggest storm in the North Sea or whatever it is fucking seen in like a dozen years. And we were taking a ferry from Sweden over to Helsinki, Finland. It's like a, I don't know, 12, 14-hour ferry ride, something like that. And turns out that the one we got on, our bus got on there because we got on a passenger ferry. So our bus and trailer got on there. I was with Testament at the time. And we get on the ferry, and about 2 hours into it, man, that boat started rocking. Turns out that was the last ferry they let cross that night because of the storm.
Right.
But dude, I don't know if you remember those big ferry ships. They're like cruise ships, man. They're huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I took one from, one that did that. Yeah. One from, we went from England to Ireland and headed into the Cliffs of Dover, and the waves were coming over the top of the boat.
Well, it was like that, man.
Yeah.
It was beyond that. I got thrown out of my bed, literally onto the ground. Everything in my room was flying around. Every piece of glass shattered. The furniture was flying, chairs, tables, everything. I ended up leaving my room. When you went outside, this is a huge freaking boat, dude. And the waves are crashing all the way over the boat. You couldn't get outside, but you could see outside. And dude, the galley, all the restaurants and shit were just getting trashed left and right. I mean, total chaos, total destruction. It was intense. It's hard to really explain it, but I was scared shitless. I even called my girl and left her one of those, hey, if I don't make it messages, you know, I love you, all that good stuff. Fuck, it was insane, man. So then we get to Finland, finally, and
dude, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a Testament, all of the Testament gear travels in a truck because they go full production, lights, audio, all that. We had everything with us. But the truck went on a cargo ferry instead of the passenger ferry, and they didn't let that ferry cross because the storm was too gnarly.
It didn't make it.
So we ended up showing up in Finland, and we had no gear, nothing at all, period. Nothing, not even guitars. I think I had some picks of Eric's, that's it. And thank God, you know, it was the Bay Strikes Back and Death Angel and Exodus rallied, and fucking we all borrowed gear and such and so forth. And the show went on, and it was killer. Testament sounded just like Testament sounded just like Exodus that night. Good. Because, you know, we used all their gear. Yeah. And then the media heard that the freaking truck didn't make it. So the media starts, you know, telling everyone that the truck with all the gear went overboard and sank in the sea and all this shit. Right. It was a good one.
All right, man. That's a good one. All right. Well, so I'm going to call you from time to time and have you do one of these. So next time I call you, we'll do a different story. But before we go, I want to tell my favorite Kevin Young story, right? All right?
Oh, shit.
So,
oh, God.
Kevin, we had a day off in Los Angeles, right? And we made our bus driver park at Six Flags, right? So me and Kevin are the only cool ones on the bus. We're like, fuck it. Let's go to Six Flags. We're going to ride everything. It was like a fucking Wednesday too, so the place was fucking empty. So Kevin and me wake up at like 9 in the morning. We're 8 in the morning. We're the first ones at the gate. Yeah. We're like right there. We get in. Yep. We immediately start riding roller coasters. We rode them until 10 o'clock at night.
And we made sure to stand in line longer if we had to, so we could get either the front or the back car. You know, because sometimes depending on the roller coaster.
Yeah, so we did every roller coaster like. Yeah, we did them all, but we did like the first, we were in the front. We did one ride on the front and then we did one ride in the back. And we realized that being in the back was better because you didn't see what was coming. Oh, then I find out at the end of the day, around 10 o'clock at night, as we're leaving, we're getting on the last roller coaster. And it's this one that you're sitting in and all of a sudden, jump, it lifts you up and you're facing toward the ground. And Tom got on it with us. And then he was like, no, can't do it, man. Nope. And they made him stop the ride so he could get off. Then I find out, I see, we get pictures of it. There's pictures of me and you. We bought the ones that you see yourself on the roller coaster. And then we get back to the bus and goes, dude, I've been, and Kevin goes, dude, I've been tripping on acid since 8 o'clock this morning, man. I'm ready to go to bed. I had no idea that you're high all fucking day. You never told me. And I thought that was so, thanks.
Dude,
so
you think
you're
all
right that you're, oh, we had such a good fucking day.
Let me put it this way. That day was so awesome, my asshole had smile cramps.
So. All right.
And Tom got off the roller coaster and some 11-year-old girl took a seat and crushed it.
Oh, that's
right. Love you, Tom. Love you to death, dude.
Well, Kevin, thank you very much for this. Yeah. Fuck.
Anytime, dude. I can't fucking wait for the next one. I got a good one lined up for next time.
Yeah. All right, cool, man. I love you very much. You're awesome, dude. You're a good buddy. And thank you for doing this. And I'll talk to you soon. We'll do this again soon.
Sounds great, brother.
All right.
Thanks for the invite.
Be good,
peace
man.
Out.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thank you for listening. This is Muppet. This is my little baby. My little baby Muppet. Oh, Muppet baby. Anyway, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. She hates me right now. My email, rob@putupyourdukespodcast.com. Email me your suggestions if I fucked anything up. Maybe if you want a certain guest, maybe I know them. You know, I'll make a list of it. Any other questions you guys got, just hit me up. We'll fucking have a conversation. And if you're a band and you have an unreleased demo, it can't be signed. You have to be an unsigned band. Send me your demo and maybe I'll play it at the end of the podcast. Maybe I'll critique it, tell you it sucks, tell you it's great, something like that. Anyway, thank you and I'll see you Was there anything else?
No.
I'll see you guys next week.